Dearly beloved, we have come together in the presence of God, our Heavenly Father, to render thanks for the great benefits that we have received at His hand, to set forth His most worthy praise, to hear His holy word, and to ask for ourselves and on behalf of others those things that are necessary for our life and salvation. O come, let us worship Him, let us kneel and bow down before Him, let us confess our sins with penitent hearts, and obtain forgiveness by His infinite grace and mercy. Almighty God and most merciful Father, we have strayed from your ways like lost sheep. We have followed the devices and desires of our hearts. We have offended against your holy law. We have done those things which we should not have done, and we have not done those things which we should have done. Have mercy on us, O Lord. Spare us and restore us, according to the promises you have declared to us in Jesus Christ our Lord. For his sake, grant that we may live a godly, righteous, and sober life to the glory of your holy name. The Almighty and merciful Lord has granted us pardon and forgiveness of all our sins, grace for true repentance and amendment for life, and the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We continue now with our hymn.
Thank you.
The lesson, which will serve as the basis for the sermon today, and as the passion reading of our Lord, is taken from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 22, verses 54 to 71. Having arrested him, they led him and brought him into the high priest's house. But Peter followed at a distance. Now when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat among them. And a certain servant girl, seeing him as he sat by the fire, looked intently at him and said, "This man was also with him." But he denied him, saying, "Woman, I do not know him." After a little while, another saw him and said, "You are also one of them." But Peter said, "Man, I am not." Then, after about an hour had passed, another confidently affirmed, saying, "Surely this fellow was also with him, for he is a Galilean." But Peter said, "Man, I do not know what you are saying." Immediately, while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed, and the Lord turned and looked at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said to him, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." So Peter went out and wept bitterly. Now the men who held Jesus mocked him and beat him, and having blindfolded him, they struck him on the face and asked him, saying, "Prophesy, who is the one who struck you?" And many other things they blasphemously spoke against him. As soon as it was day, the elders of the people, both chief priests and scribes, came together and led him into their council, saying, "If you are the Christ, tell us." But he said to them, "If I tell you, you will by no means believe. And if I also ask you, you will by no means answer me or let me go. Hereafter the Son of Man will sit at the right hand of the power of God." Then they all said, "Are you then the Son of God?" So he said to them, "You rightly say that I am." And they said, "What further testimony do we need? For we have heard it ourselves from his own mouth." Dear Lord, these are your words. We ask that you would sanctify us by the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Technology is great. You can do so many things with it. We are allowed to have endless entertainment. Movies, television, video games, books. You can even learn new skills with YouTube Academy. The list goes on. It is great, but also it has its downsides. Technology, and books as well, and people, and pretty much every medium of information can allow you to disconnect yourself from that information. It may not even be apparent to you that you're disconnected from these things. When you're watching a movie, when you're playing a video game, reading a book, there is a certain distance between you and what's happening in that medium. How much are you affected by what's happening? I know when I play video games, I'm certainly disconnected. I don't spend all my time on a different planet fighting bugs. And the things that I say, do, hear, or read in these video games or these movies don't really affect the rest of my life. I kind of forget them as soon as they're done. It can be easy for this to happen to us, not only when we're indulging in technology, but here in church, hearing the Bible. When you heard these words from the Gospel of Luke, did you experience this disconnect? I know it's far too easy to go to church, go to chapel, hear the readings, and then go on about our day. If you heard the chapel service this morning, Pastor Kirko mentioned how sometimes we even forget the lessons that we heard. We don't always meditate on them. We don't always ponder on how it affects our lives. We disconnect and distance ourselves from them. Now, this is not true for all people. I know I have suffered from this. There have been times where I left chapel and I don't remember what I heard 10 minutes before. But these things that we hear are not make-believe. We should not distance ourselves from them because they are reality and they have a meaning for us. Let us consider the gravity of Peter's denial of Christ and what Jesus faced for you. St. Peter, in our text for today, he denied Christ three times. Now, this is a little personal, as you know, my name is Peter, so I feel this. It wasn't enough for Peter to deny Jesus once. He had to deny him two more times, saying, "I don't even know what you're talking about," to these people who say that I'm connected to him. Jesus was being mocked and beaten and put on trial. And at the same time, Peter was denying him. Jesus even told Peter this would happen. We see that it was prophesied in the verses coming up to this. And then in our text, it refers back to it. Jesus tells Peter, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." Peter's response at first was, "I'm ready to fight. May it never be, Lord." He was ready to draw his sword, fight and kill and even die. And then he ran away. Only to follow Jesus at a distance and then deny him again. Peter's fall was great. He went from confessing Jesus to be the Christ, the Son of the living God, then denying even having any connection to him at all. Now, it's one thing to look at this text and think, "I don't see how Peter could ever deny Jesus." But are there times when we deny Jesus, when we distance ourselves from him? When we lie, whether it be on our taxes or to our friends or our family, we are distancing ourselves from Jesus. When we steal, whether it be from our coworker, time from work, research, and writing that someone else has done, we are distancing ourselves from Jesus. When we cheat, whether it be on schoolwork or in order to get ahead in our career, we are denying ourselves, we are denying Jesus and distancing ourselves from him. Now, this doesn't only happen in our actions, but our thoughts as well. If we believe that we can indulge in our pet sins, even if not, we're not acting on them, we're just thinking about them, we have denied Jesus and distanced ourselves from him. If we decide to never forgive the person who has wronged us because in our mind they aren't worth the forgiveness, we have once again denied Jesus and distanced ourselves from him. Peter's denial of Jesus in our text is very real. And our denial of Jesus is just as real. But no matter how many times you've denied Jesus, he still allowed himself to be delivered over and put on trial and killed for you. Jesus is all-knowing. He knew every time that he would be rejected, denied, and that people would distance themselves from him. And he still chose to go to the cross for you. He is all-powerful. He could have struck down every single person who mocked him, who beat him, who blasphemed against him, who denied him. But he didn't. He had you on his mind and your salvation. Jesus allowed himself to be crucified for you and for your sins. He had you on his mind. No matter how many times you tried to distance yourself from him, he will never distance himself from you. When you deny Jesus, he doesn't turn away from you. He looks directly at you, and he tells you, "I love you, and I forgive you." Every sin that you've ever committed, whether it be denying Jesus, hiding your faith from others, stealing, lying, cheating, whatever it may be, was nailed to the cross with him, paid for, and forgiven entirely. Even those sins that weigh on your mind, that burden your conscience and your heart, they have been forgiven. There is no greater reality than this gospel message that God forgives you of all of your sins, he loves you, and he desires for you to be with him in heaven. This free gift of salvation is given to you through Christ's death and through his resurrection. And the Holy Spirit allows you to hold on to this word so that you don't have to be disconnected from it. You can be as close to it as possible. It is a wonderful thing to come to church, to come to chapel, and to come to Vespers, and to hear God's word. But it is an even more wonderful thing to know that you can hear God's word and read God's word anywhere you go, at any point in time in the day, because through God's word, he draws you close to himself. Do not be disconnected from his word. Go towards it. For in it he says, "Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine." God will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He will never look away from you. He calls you his own dear child, whom he loves, and whose sins have been forgiven. Thanks be to God. Amen. We continue now with our canticle hymn.
Thank you. Abide with us in